This morning is our men's meeting, men's test meeting. I've got a couple of people organised and to share, but it's the opportunity for some of you guys to share what's been happening in your lives. And so maybe a testimony, a short testimony, 10, 15, 20 minutes, 5 minutes if you wish, that's okay. So I just want to show you a couple of things that I've just been handed. Trevor has put together this very nice newsletter, which I couldn't open on my computer, but he kindly printed out for me. I got a little bit of a square about 10 mils by 10 mils and couldn't get the rest out. But I haven't even read it. He just handed it to me this morning. But it's good for us as Full Gospel Business to put something out that's professional and nicely done. And here's another one here for our Napier chapter. Aaron's just done this. We went home. Alvin, I should say. Get Alvin and Aaron. Alvin has done this. He went home for the meeting last night, and I'm still driving home, and he goes, click, click, click. Graham, I'm doing up this new newsletter. And he was onto it straight after the meeting. So this is what we're putting out. But it's good to get something like that. Now, whenever your meetings, you know, first thing I do is I get names and emails. And we got another five to add to our list last night, so that'll go out, and we'll just keep expanding our list. But I was at a conference on Wednesday in Auckland, a business conference, and it was one of our bigger customers, Dad's Pies, and they were having the Supplier of the Year conference and awards, which we won the most innovative supplier of the year, which is great. But there's a couple of things I copied down, and I think it's actually good for us as Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship to remember. And this is one of the things. It's not always the fastest or the brightest that win. It's those most responsive to change. And I think one of the things, you know, where lots of people have different style meetings, and over the last 40 or 50 years, we've had to actually change not our beliefs and our standards and our values, but perhaps the way that we meet. Some people are having supper meetings. You know, life is getting busier, and it's really hard to get people out. So that was one of the things that they quoted as a company, and they said, as a company, we're having to adapt and having to change to eating habits for them, because pies are perceived as not healthy. I eat the lots of them, and look at me, I'm just a picture of perfect health. But they're changing all the ingredients and doing all those things. The difference between success and failure is often perseverance. Now, I have found that in business. I've been in business for 30-odd years now. I started in 1983. And I remember there was a company I called on in Sydney called Kingfoil Containers. They were the biggest aluminium dish maker in all of Australia. And for 8 years, I called on this guy once or twice a year. Never got an order ever. And then one day, I got a phone call from this guy. Graham, my current supplier, who I've been loyal to, just whacked their prices up 20%. You've been calling on me. Give me your price. So I gave him a price. He said, you got the business. It was $150,000 a year, and I had that for the next 10 years. Perseverance. Another customer called A.E. Westenhagen, also in Sydney. I called on them for 8 years. They had a cake business, about $80,000 a year of goods. And then one day they said, our supplier from overseas has let us down. What can you do? I said, I'll have a pallet here in 1 week's time. I put it on a plane. I flew the 500-kilo pallet over to them. I had all of their business for the next 10 years until they retired. That was about $80,000 a year. Perseverance. You know, and we invite people to Full Gospel meetings. I don't know about you, but you don't like rejection. I don't like it. You know, I'm not a really good salesman. I rang someone in Auckland the other day, and it was Christchurch. I was going down to Christchurch on business about 10 days ago, and I rang them up. And the guy said, I know this is a sales call, and I'm sorry to have to cut you off, but I'm not interested. I'm a very busy man. Goodbye. Clunk. And I said, oh, gee. And, you know, I got the next call in Christchurch to make, who's their opposition. I thought, I don't think I really want to ring this guy. You know, I just had a smack of the chops. And so I picked up the phone. I rang. I said, you know, did my little spiel. You're just the people I want to see. I've got samples here from England, and I want someone to make this packaging. I said, I'll be there in 3 days' time. Great, come and see us. And I think they're about $50,000 or $60,000 a year or more, and I'm just doing trials for them. It's perseverance. You know, we don't like getting knockbacks. And I'm like that. I went to a sales course, and they said, the average salesman sees 10 people, phones 10 people, gets to see 3 people, and only gets 1 order. Now, a good salesman who works on referrals gets probably a 90% hit rate. They're real good salesmen. But how much more for us inviting people to meetings, inviting people to your church. We've got to expect the same. We've got to be, you know, expect some knockbacks. And if you're like me, you know, you struggle a bit with rejection. You think, oh, I don't think I want to do that again. That's not going to be much fun. So, you know, I want to encourage you, keep up the work. I've got a saying, look, if you can't get in the front door, try the back door. If you can't get in the back door, go through the bathroom window. And basically, that's what I did with those two companies in Australia. I kept on going every tack. And now when I get a customer, I hit them within 24 hours with some samples or some information or something so that my name's right in front of them. And it seems to be working, so we're getting ahead and getting there. So that's really good. Now, let's see. Oh, Alvin, could I just get you on? I haven't told him yet, but could I just get you to share a little bit about the business chapter and how you came into it and what happened when we prayed for you last year? Yeah, I knew I'd just drop him. I didn't want him to worry about it, you see, so I just sprung it on him. You can come up here. This is pretty relaxed here, so, you know, you don't have to be a polished speaker, but come on up.
Cool.
Thank you, Graham.
This is Alvin.
G'day, guys. My name is Alvin. I work for property brokers in Napier, so it's real estate.
Anyone want to buy a house?
Yeah, I'll give you a good deal. Just a bit about me. Where should I start? Won't be too long, 2 minutes. I got into real estate. It was, you know, a God-led thing. I mean, I was in the shower one morning and the Lord said, 1 week's time, I'm going to do something with you. So I shared it with my friends and fellowship. And then exactly 1 week from then, I got a phone call from property brokers and I was thinking, oh my gosh, what's the Lord doing with me? I can't sell houses. And so, it just, he opened doors for me and I got into real estate. And then I was like, fighting him all the way. I was thinking, man, I can't do this. I can't do this. So I got Graham and Ben and Steve to pray for me. And then just everything just changed in the first year. I got Rookie of the Year. So that's huge, you know. I mean, you don't really do that. usually you get that in your second year. But, I mean, I was just totally blown away. And the Lord's just opened more and more doors for me. And, I was praying. I was thinking, Lord, you know, I'm in real estate. There's a lot of people here that I sort of can't align myself with because, I mean, my morals are different to their morals. So I was praying and praying. And then somebody said, hey, man, go see, Graham and see what he's up to. So I went to a morning breakfast with him and it's exactly what the Lord has sort of put in my heart to be along with people like Graham and yourselves. I mean, good businessmen who's got good morals and good integrity. So, so I'm just blessed and I'm just so glad to be here and with Graham and the team, yeah. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alvin. Someone gave me Alvin's business card, and I saw he was a businessman. So, you know, these business cards are really good to hand around. So I rang him up and told him, hey, look, we're full gospel businessmen. Would you like to come out for coffee with us? And so we got together, and he was excited straight away. And Alvin's just doing a great job. You know, we're happy to rebuild our team and our business chapter. And Alvin's right there. I just send an email to a text to him and say, hey, can you get there at 5 o'clock? He's there. Done, man. And it's good to have people like that you can actually rely upon. Now, I've got Adrian Pritchard here somewhere. There he is, right down the back, that good-looking fella. Come on up, Adrian. Now, Adrian is a guy that's got a very interesting history. I first met Adrian in Mangaroa Prison when we're taking full gospel out there. You can come around this side, Adrian. And I think he must have liked the tucker there because I think he was in there for about 12 years or so. But he's got an amazing story of a change and a turnaround in his life. He's written a book. They did a program on him on 2020. And as he went, being born again Christian, going back around New Zealand to all the people he had robbed and held up at knife point and gun point and whatever else, some of them didn't want to come out and see him. They were still too scared 12 years on. But it's the story is just the change in people's lives. You know, that is awesome. And that's what the gospel is all about. So, Adrian, I've got Adrian 30 minutes, and then Mike Bunch got something to share afterwards, and then it's an opportunity for you guys who would like to share. Come on up.
Thanks, Graham. Well, gee, I like to move and jump.
So hopefully the music gear is all good up here. But, geez, mate, I'm not very good at like pulpits. I reckon come Jesus and smash him. Graham kind of summed it up. I'm not much of a good salesman, but when I was a burglar, I was a very good salesman because that was my living. And like Graham said, if I couldn't get through the front door or the back door, I went through the window. If that wasn't good enough, I went through the roofs. And if that wasn't good enough, I needed to go through the walls. And to cut a long story short, buy a book. People have ghostwriters and other people to do their books. I didn't have anyone. The only ghostwriter I had was myself, and the best person who could tell your story is yourself. Amen. And it's about redemption in Jesus Christ. Say to people who buy this book who are not saved, be ready because your life is going to change. If you aren't ready, don't buy the book. Because it's I have corrections departments, I have chaplains in prisons and all that who are like Perry in Auckland, we just donated 430 other books to them, thanks to generous giving from local churches who donate the money. I don't sell the book, but I do to Christians. I know it sounds pretty bad, eh? I see a few of you going, okay, what's up with this deal? But what I do is I get Christians to sponsor this book. It's only $20 a copy, but it can change people's lives, okay? People in prisons, at risk youth programs, in correction departments all around the country cannot afford the book. So $20, I got an awesome printer in Australia. How is that, eh? I writ the book here, but I have to go offshore because they give me, Australians give me a better deal. Exactly. So the printer in Brisbane said, if you can sell one book at $20, then we can print the books for $4 each. And that's shipped and delivered. So what I do, I think of all you men around here, this is not a sales pitch, I'm hopeless at it, but if each one of you bought one book, I could give it to Mangaroa Prison. I could give 2 boxes of books, which is a box is 100 books, into Mangaroa Prison. Just something to think about. I'm going to be hanging around, but it's really dark in the first part of my life. It's like people think, man, where's the Christians? They get that mask on of, where's that God factor? Well, I want to see that God factor. Yes, it is in the book, but I wrote it because I spent a lot of my life, more than half of my life, serving the devil. So I'm not going to write a book to make it all fine and dandy, just to make it look good, because if I want to just impact the Christian market, then I will write a Christian book. But if I want to impact the unbelievers, I'm going to write a book about my testimony so I can impact the unbelievers. Okay? Because it's us, Christians, who have got the God factor living in our lives, so we should be going forth into the community and doing church out there. Amen? We can go to, I can go to church. I'm a committed AOG member in Hastings. I love my body, I love the church. I love my brothers and sisters. But one thing I struggle with myself is when I say, hey, we've got a home group at a gang's headquarters, let's come. Raise your hand who wants to come. You see, amen. A few years ago, I remember, I don't know, Tony Anthony, the Kung Fu man, he came through New Zealand a few years ago, was Julian Batchelor, and I said to him, mate, let's go. Let's go to the Highway 61s, let's go to the Mangamore pad, and let's go and preach the gospel to them. You've got a story, what they need to know. Don't preach to the converted, they're already saved. We can equip and fire the saints up, which is all of us, for us to do what? The good works. We're in the community. I just watched 7 Sharp last night. Yes, I do watch the Hellavision. I call it the Hellavision because there's more hell on there than God stuff. So I did watch a Hellavision. And there's a guy in Auckland who are dying because he had kidney failure. And they're wanting to get married, him and his wife, wanting to get married, and they're asking for donations. And I'm thinking, there's enough churches in Auckland who could say, let's not wait till the 27th of August where he's only got 6 weeks or 8 weeks to live, and they're hoping and trusting. Let's go out and grab this man and say, let's bless you. Because it's not just him, it's the whole whānau. It's the whole family. Where's our Christian? I'm here not to, I'm kind of here to challenge you all, eh? Because I am sick and tired of seeing Christians who go to church every Sunday and hallelujah, pay their tithes, they got their ticket to heaven, but people next door are dying. Their neighbour's got cancer. Oh, I can't go see him, he doesn't like me. But don't worry about that. Put that desire gone in Jesus' name. Go over there, knock on the door. Like Graham said, either you're going to get a slap in the face and say, no way, we don't want you in here, or welcome. Mate, if you want to really witness and you want to see the power of God, go to death. Go knock on death's door. You will see the power of God. I had an incident a couple of years ago. A guy's brother was dying of cancer. He was my age, 42. Poor guy, got diagnosed in Australia. He had to come back to his family. He only had 3 months to go. This guy was a part of our church, and I said, bro, it's up to you to go forth into this guy's room, into your own bro's room, and talk to him about life and death, because he's only got a few weeks to go, mate. And he said, no, I can't do that. I'm going, bro, do it. This guy, what's better can do it than coming from you? He couldn't do it. So I said, Lord, okay, I don't know this guy, but Lord, send me. And I walked right into the hospice in Hastings. And as I walked in, the family walked out. And I thought, it's only going to be me and him now. And I introduced myself. I said, hello, my name's blah, blah. I'm a good friend of your brother's, blah, 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 blah. I said, I'm not going to muck around here, brother. But you got life or death knocking on your hand. Either two things are going to happen. You're not going to accept Jesus and you're going to go to hell. You're going to accept Jesus, get healed and walked out of here. Oh, four things actually. Or you're going to accept Jesus and die and go to heaven. What choices have you got? And he said, mate, why hasn't someone came to me and talked to me earlier about this? So I laid my hands on him and I said to him, in Jesus' name, just follow me through these prayers. And I went through the sinner's prayer. He came to know the Lord. And then I prayed for complete healing. He didn't heal. Don't ask me to lay hands on your mate because he could die. But within 12 hours, he was dead. But he's gone to heaven, eh? Amen. So I'm going to see him again. Amen. No, that's the goodness of Jesus Christ. Had the opportunity yesterday. I was just saying to my mate Kev, I had the opportunity yesterday to go to a gang headquarters and I prayed for the president of the local bikie gang. Why? Because they want to see the real you. I hit him with this question. I said, what is stopping you today to follow Christ? What is stopping you? I want to know. And he said, what kind of question is that? And I just said, I want to ask you. I could have some idea. But what's stopping you? Come from your own heart. And he said, there's too many hypocrites in the local church. And I said, but how do you know that? You have never been to the church. So you're making a judgment call before you even walked across that line. I said, no, we're not hypocrites. We're the sinners what need Jesus. You get that in the right context. We are still human. Hey, brother, good to see you, man. Awesome. And but he said, but I, you know, they look at me, tattooed up, got tattooed on the face. I'm a prisoner of the local bikie gang. And I said, bro, this is about life and death. What even if you ride your bike and you smack into a bus tomorrow, where will you be heading? The hell is not the place what we think hell is. Naked woman, heaps of cocaine, heaps of drugs, all this sort of carry on. It's not like that, mate, at all. The devil's not running around with pointy ears with a big pitchfork. You know, he's right. He's not ministering, but he's heading you. and it's going to be torment, like the Bible explains it, gashing our teeth. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've seen people on methamphetamine who have been addicted to pee, and they're grinding their teeth. And I think, oh, just imagine, you know, you go into hell and that's going to be your eternal life. In the lake of fire, the Bible explains it. People don't talk about hell in church, eh? They talk about the prosperity, the goodness of Jesus, eh? Let's open up the word, eh? Is that cool? Good. I know, I feel like a bit of a con man, eh? I used to be. I'm con now I say to God in my prayer time in the morning, I say, God, I'm a con man for you now. If I can sell the Bibles to unsaved people, then let me do it. You know, if I can sell my books to unsaved people, then so be it. But at the end of the day, you know, I love speaking and sharing to Christians, because the Bible explains us as evangelists is to equip, train, equip, and release the body of Christ, eh? Evangelists, people think evangelists are just people out there preaching the gospel all the time. No, we are all witnesses, eh? The Bible explains we are all witnesses. We are all to do the work of an evangelist. Hey, not necessarily we are all called to be an evangelist, because we all got different gifts. But the Bible explains we are all called to do the work of an evangelist. No matter if you struggle with sin, no matter if you struggle, so what? Be real. I struggle with anger. I lay hands on people some days and I don't take my hands off them. Does that mean I'm not that perfect Christian who live in this perfect box? It just says I need God more. Do I go out there every day smoking dope, bashing people, and doing adultery upon my wife? No, I don't do that stuff. That's the old life. The new has begun. But it does not mean we are still not. We're one step away from a fall, friends. If you, I don't know, you, some of you guys might have been saved for 50 years. I've been saved for 12 years. I say that into sometimes in correction departments. You guys, I got an easy way out. I haven't. I've got Jesus. People think Jesus, following Jesus. When I first became a Christian in jail, people think, what an scapegoat. I'm going to get released early. Nothing like that at all. It actually got longer. Like Graham said, 10 years became 12 years. You know? Oh, but you're a Christian. You shouldn't have bashed that guy over. You're right. But guess what? I'm human. Hey. Oh. So corrections at risk youth programs. Guess what? I'm human. I might have Jesus. It's not a crutch. I just need someone higher than me to help me. Like, bet you one of you guys in here, like not you men, but when I'm speaking to at risk youth programs, you guys got probation officers. Some are bad, some are good, some are ugly, some are fat, some are just like me, perfect. No. But we've got Jesus, eh? Amen. Amen. In Jude. Hey, Jude. I call to remain faithful. But you, dear friends, must remember. Is that me? Sorry, is that like? But you, my dear friends, must remain what the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ said. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers, whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. The world. Hey. They're talking about the world here. You know, like Graham was just talking about. As we go out, we're going to get rejected. There's going to be scoffers. That's what they are sent to do. The devil doesn't want you to bring good news to his people. So he's going to do anything in his power Don't forget I'm talking about a little G here, not a big G. To stop it. Eh? I had all sorts of accusations over my life. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their nature, natural instincts, because they did not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, talking about us now, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and wait the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. And this way you will keep yourself safe in God's love. You, I love this part in 22, verse 22. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. You know, I love what I do. I hate sometimes waking up in the morning and God tells you to do something. I'm a youth worker at the moment out in Flaxmere. Some of you guys might not know that. Flaxmere is a very low decile. I've come from Auckland. It's like an Otara sort of atmosphere. Not putting a spiritual condemnation over Flaxmere at all. But Flaxmere has got a lot of... the Mongol mob originated out of Flaxmere. And the city council, district council, has hired me to be a youth worker in that suburb. And it is awesome, but I hate working for the district council. I would prefer working for the Lord, eh? Because there's so much PC. I had to talk to our manager one day, and because I meet with the Flaxmere Probation Corrections Department quite a lot, the manager there. I'm wanting to start up in Hawke's Bay with the local police, and hopefully it will go through New Zealand wide as an anti-burglar and anti-proof home or businesses. What better to know how to keep your business or your home safe than an ex-burglar, eh? Amen. I walk into some of these late model homes today, and I think at the door hatches, and I think, mate, people could just pop them open in a click of a finger, man. And I want to work with insurance companies to make it all above board, because we've got an issue in this country, and it's getting bigger, and it's getting worse, and it's burglaries and theft, especially today, because technology is taking off. So everyone wants an iPhone. So if they can't afford to buy one, what are they going to do? Steal one. You know, I'm stuck in a bit of a hard basket when I talk with people in the corrections. You know, I have a lot of confidential stuff coming up to me. People saying, mate, I've got $10,000 worth of stolen iPhones at home. I find it really hard because I'm not a narc. I never will be a narc. And I say, bro, I give you an opportunity. I'm not going to do it. I will never do it. But obviously it's hitting your spirit hard because you just confessed it to me. If you need a hand or in a direction to talk to a police officer about this, then we can sort something out. But I'm not going to do it unless you want it done. Some people go, oh, mate, it's all goods, man. But I'm thinking, well, picture yourself in their shoes. Some of you guys probably can't even imagine it. You know, I remember I used to be a heroin addict, and I used to blast heroin. You know, we used to have a $2,000 habit a day. A lot of money, eh? Hawke's Bay couldn't feed that addiction, so I had to go to places like Whangaparā, Orewa, Hatfield's Beach, or the rich areas, so we can we can make money. You know, salesman. Hey, I got this 40-inch TV here, brother. Is it stolen? Nah, bro, it's all good. It's all good. Cops coming to your place, it's safe. Sales pitch, yeah. What have you got for me? You know? But at the end of the day, all of that, like the Bible says, was meaningless. Hey, you know, people go overseas to do missionary work. God bless him. the biggest mission field is in New Zealand. Well, we are going overseas. People in our own community are dying. Like I just heard one of my old pastors was saying to me overseas. He just travelled over Kenya or part of that. Hundreds come to know the Lord. And I'm saying to them, that's great. Awesome. Why don't we see it here? Why don't we see that here? Hey, I want to see it here. It's great to have testimonies overseas. But I want to see big crusades happen in New Zealand. I want to see business people. Yes, I can't take my business any further. I need God. Hey, because there's a time where we hit the brick wall. I do. I'm a married man with three daughters. Every day I just about hit a brick wall because I'm thinking, man, gee, what happening? God, you say one woman, I got three of them, four of them. Well, a wife and three kids. And then that's not good enough. My mother wanted to live with us. And I thought, man, what are you doing? And Jesus says, well, this is a time of healing for you. You know, why have I got a wife and three daughters? Because I hated women and I used to treat them like a piece of meat. So they're right in my face now and I have to love them when my daughter comes. Dad, I got a scratch on my dome. It's bleeding. I feel like saying, man, just harden up, man. Jeez. Oh, let's go to the bathroom, man. Let's do the daddy thing. Next minute. Mr. Sticky Blasters. God saying, no, Adrian. Just handle, you know. This is who I have put there. You know? Where's our mission field, friends? What's our mission field? Where's God after this convention here this weekend? Where is God placing you? Or he might have already placed you. Are you willing to sacrifice your life for your neighbor? Loving one another. It's easy to sacrifice your life to your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. But when we got a guy down the road who doesn't like Jesus and he's going about to mock you and spit in your face, are we going to be there for that person? No? Are we going to walk away?
Spring and wait, 10 minutes. Spring and wait, walk away. Well, the mold will go. Put it on your house and you're good. Hallelujah, brother.
But that's what we do in church, eh? How's things going? I challenged someone in a church one day at the door greeting. You know, how's it going? Oh, man, my wife left me, my cat got run on, my house just got burnt down, and I got one of the hardest gangs in New Zealand after me. Oh, I have a good day in church. Oh, choice, bro. Awesome. No, we're going all right. Hey. It's like you watch your face drop, eh? I love doing it to people, eh? Ray Comfort taught me that. I love Ray Comfort. He endorsed this book, actually. But my friends, you know, I want to challenge you. Where are we going to be? In 10 years, some of us might be dead. I don't know. Last year, I just about died. I had a major seizure. And my body function just... You know, people say, oh, yeah, but, you know, Jesus can set you free, brother. Yeah, he has. Because if he never did set me free, I would have smashed you by now. So he did set me free. Hallelujah. But, brother, you know, all that drug abuse back in the day, God, set you free. Yes, he has. But it doesn't mean these are consequences, eh? You know, I had hepatitis C for many years when I became a Christian. Hepatitis C is you catch it through intravenous drug use, sharing needles. And I had it. I was very, very sick. I was saved, set free for 8 years. It reared up, and I got very sick. But then I have all these Christians who say, God has set you free. Yeah, I'm not arguing that point, but at the moment it's not looking like that. Pray for me, brother, so to see how powerful your set free words are. Hallelujah. But, bro, I've still got a bung knee, and I still need a new knee. God can use doctors, eh? He can use chemists. hey, to help you. Hey, hallelujah. Some people might think, walk in faith. Here we are walking in faith, because if I never did, I wouldn't be here today speaking to you. So I'm walking in faith every day. I have to walk in faith. Like I said, I'm married with an awesome wife and lovely three daughters. And then I've got friends who try to be my wife anyway. So I'm thinking, mate, you know, I'm walking in faith every day. But God's saying to you guys today, walk in faith wherever you are. Walk on water. Don't look around. Don't look left or right. Look straight towards Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who will get you to that destination. We aren't all called to be an evangelist, but we're all called to work, do the works of an evangelist. Amen? But I'm going to hang around. So, questions, Q&A, feel free. But I just want to pray right now. Sorry, Grim. I'm just going to pray, and I pray for God's presence mightily to come. And I don't know where you guys are today. I don't know where you are. God does, but I don't. And I pray in Jesus' name for God to do new work in your life. Someone prayed out before, the old is gone, the new has begun. Amen. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just really pray right now for these awesome men here, Lord God, and their loved ones, Lord. I pray, Father God, for you to do that new work in Jesus' name. Do that new wineskin, Lord God, you talk about in the Word. Do that, take the old wineskin away and put the new wineskin on, Lord God. And I pray in Jesus' name for your mighty power to be upon these men and touch their lives in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, for wherever you will send them, wherever they go, they're going to be witnesses for you. They're going to touch many lives in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, to bring them in to the people who need you more in Jesus' name. Bring divine appointments. Lord, I pray for the sacrifice of these men to say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. My business, my purpose is only my business and my purpose. But we want you, God. We want more of you in Jesus' name. We want to lay down at your feet right now, Jesus, and say, Lord, have our life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Jesus.
Let's give Adrian a hand. Thanks, Adrian. I was saying to people, Adrian's coming over, and a lot of people don't know him. I said, well, he's the guy with the long hair. So I think Adrian must have been doing registrations for a full gospel convention. He's got no hair left. So he matches Lem pretty well. But awesome testimony, and Adrian just goes hard out for the gospel. And, he travels around the country sharing, so, you chat to presidents, talk to Adrian, and you might be able to tee something up. And he's here, and he'll just go anywhere for the gospel. Go anywhere. You know, change lives is what it's all about. And Adrian is that. Well, we were with Jimmy and Wairoa on Monday night. About 100 people turned out. And we got home about 20 to 1 in the morning. But while we're there, I met a guy, and you couldn't miss him. His name was Michael. And he was an ex-mongrel mob guy. He had the big circles on both sides here. And I just noticed that this guy was just getting around. He brought me a cup of coffee, and he was serving everywhere he went. And the first look, like Adrian said, how many of us would go to the mongrel mob? You know, I don't understand that scene. But this guy, that's where he'd come out of. And when I got up close to him, I just shook his hand, I looked in his eyes, and people say that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And when I looked on there was such a gentleness inside that man. And as the meeting went on, he was around about, Jimmy prayed for him that night, and he was down the back, and he was in the kitchen washing dishes. Mongrel mob, they usually hit you over the head with dishes. They don't wash them. And I went over and shook his hand. I said, mate, you've got an amazing ministry of encouragement and just being part of everything that's going on. And he gave me a great big hug. And, you know, that's important. And Noel could tell you something about that too when he was travelling and met a guy that came with tats all over him. And he just gave him this hug and made him welcome. And that was a change. That guy came to the Lord during one of Noel's meetings. So, there's awesome, awesome things happening out there. And you look at a person, when you get close and get to know them, and you look in their eyes, you can see a changed life. And, you know, I know Kerry's had a lot to do with the prison and with Adrian over the years as well. And we've seen the change in this man as he's gone out with the gospel, just going hard out. You know, you've got to tie some weights around the man to slow him down. But he's going. So pretty radical stuff. That's awesome. I'm going to get Mike to share. You want to share something? Then we're going to get some of you guys. We've got till 12 o'clock, so we're good.
I'm amazed at how many guys are here so early on the Friday morning. It's wonderful. This young guy down here, can you just stand up? I don't know you from a bar of soap. What's your name?
Kevin.
I looked at you before and Kevin said, the Lord's got a special place and special things for you to do. I don't know your background, I don't know where you come from, but everything you have done in the past, God will use for good, and he's going to use for good and his glory. So expect to be used by him to go and talk to people you normally would be afraid to speak of, because he's going to put a boldness in that side, that spirit of yours, to move and to touch people and speak to people and lead them to the Lord. Thanks. This man over here, do you know he's dangerous? Don't hear too much of him, because we had him at our camp last year, and I come from the Tari chapter near Dunedin, and we had him at Enakure last year, and we've had him back again this year, and he's coming back again later this year, I've been told as well, but he's dangerous. But last year he brought a message on the demonic and warfare. And it was a tremendous message, but I tell you what, it was a dangerous message, because the last 10 months I've had a few things going on, and I'm blaming you, Jimmy. I'm not really. Paul talks about, and I could never really understand it, he talked about he could count everything as joy. And I shared that with Augustine this morning. It's the first time I've shared that. What I've been through in the last 8 to 10 months, I could look at it and say, I wouldn't have changed it for quids. I could count it all as joy. And I just want to share just a little bit of what's been happening. I just want to share you, first of all, how real Satan is. On our executive, there were seven of us on our executive, and over an 18-month period, every man or one of their family members had a life-threatening either illness or accident over that 18 months. Everyone. Now, we expect things to happen, but that God was just pointing that out. He just said, write down all the things that's happened, all the chapter executive, and it blew me away when I wrote it down. And Satan is real. And he's been speaking to me, the Lord has been speaking to me, and he said, Satan hates each of us with a passion. And he'll do anything to stop us, anything to slow us down, anything to make us step back. And that's what he's been trying to do to me, I believe. On the 12th of April, I sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me this year, Mike, there's more challenges. I'd been through a few challenges. And he said, in actual fact, I've been allowed to do a bit of sifting, and I've really given him permission, he was saying. Because about 6 to 8 months ago, I developed something pretty personal, a swollen testicle. Okay, and I'm sure there'll be one or two men here will know about that. And it's not something I really went around sharing with people. And it wasn't any big deal, it just grew. And it wasn't painful, so I thought I'd better get it checked out. My wife was saying, look, you really need to go and get that checked out. So I went and got it checked out, and everything was good. It was just a normal thing. But they did say to me that if it started to grow even more and started to get painful, to come back. And I'll share a little bit about that after. And the Holy Spirit's really been talking to me in the last 10 months about faith. And he's been using things to build my faith, I believe. and you won't see up here, I've got a wart on my finger. And I used to say, if I said it once, I've probably said it hundreds of times, God loves us, warts and all. And next thing I get this wart. And he said, Mike, when you said that, you were saying that in faith. So when we say, and it says in God's word, if we've got faith of a mustard seed, look out, we can move mountains. So I had enough faith to get a wart. But he said, that's a reminder of what you've been saying, so I try not to say that anymore. It's certainly in jest. And I play a bit of golf. And I know one over here, where's Stan? Stan's a real keen golfer as well. I won't say I'm a good golfer, but I love playing golf. And I was playing golf just a few weeks ago, about a month ago, and with a good friend of mine, and there's only three of us playing this particular day. And the other guy, I knew this other guy, he'd been a client. His name was Michael. And the other guy's name was Ron, and Ron knew some of the things that had been happening. He says, oh, how's your health been? And I said, it's been going good. I'm getting better and better. And then Michael started sharing. He's about 10 years younger. I'm 65, he's 55, and he was sharing all the things that were not so good with him. And then he said this. He said, oh, and I want a bigger penis. I thought, where did that come from? And I made a flippant statement back to him. I said, oh, that's something all men probably have wished all their lives at some time or other. And then that night, I must have said that with a bit of faith, because that night I had this terrible, terrible sexual harassment that was happening on in my dreams. And that's one thing that Jimmy talked about, our dreams, handing everything over to the Lord and putting the full armor of God. And I've been doing that just about every night I do it. But boy, has the devil been having a go at me. He's been really having a go at me. And so the next morning after that, I got up and said, Lord, what was that all about? He said, Mike, he said, when you spoke that, there was a bit of faith in that, a bit of belief in that. And so the Satan had a legal right to come and give you a bit of a hard time. So I just confessed and asked for forgiveness. And thankfully, I've not had that problem since. I've already said, and I'll probably say it a few more, Satan hates us with a passion. I missed a bit. A couple of months ago, or maybe three or four months ago, I started feeling quite yuck and I didn't know what was happening. Then I started losing weight. I lost about 5 kgs over 2 weeks. And I thought, oh, some people would really appreciate that. But I didn't appreciate it, and my wife didn't appreciate it. And I used to like bike riding. I'd go for a bike ride, and I was stuffed. I could only go for a little while, and I'd come back. I didn't really enjoy it. So wives keep insisting, don't they, at times? And she said, Mike, you need to go and see the doctor. So I went to the doctor about it, and I was on medication for cholesterol tablets for cholesterol, and that can make you lose weight. And the doctor agreed with that, and so he stopped the medication. But he said, just to check, he says, well, I'll give you a broad range of blood tests. And so I went and had these blood tests, and I get a call wee way later to say to come and see the doctor, because I had a hyperactive thyroid gland. And I was involved with insurance for many, many years, and I knew that mainly women tend to have that problem. So I went to the doctors, and he said, these are all the symptoms, and everything that I'd had, okay, the tiredness, the feeling yuck, no energy, feeling a bit anxious and feeling a bit down at times, that was all part of it. But even while this was happening, I was having some awesome times with the Lord. I was having maybe an hour and a half in the morning with the Lord and praying and praising, worshipping, reading the word, and he was speaking to me, because I got challenged by a book, the Freedom Diaries. Does anyone here read the Freedom Diaries? And he makes that statement that if you read the book, you'll start hearing from the Lord more. And I'm hearing from him so much more. It blows me away at times. It blows me away. But I really believe it's the Lord speaking. But just a few weeks ago, we'd just finished tea. There's just my wife and I at home. And I took my plate out to the kitchen, and I collapsed. I thought, but I didn't collapse. I didn't pass out. My legs just went all wobbly, and I was holding onto the bench. And I called out to my wife, and it was just a weird, weird experience. And my breathing got laboured. It was like I was having panic attacks. And I thought, what's going on? And my wife called the ambulance, and she made me sit up because I just wanted to lie down and just go to sleep, basically. But I was having problems breathing, and she made me sit up, and she kept asking questions if I was having any chest pains, all those sorts of things. Then I wasn't. And then the ambulance got there because I wasn't having any of the vital symptoms that you would normally have. they were swapping time to swap over the new drivers and everything were coming on, so they didn't hurry to get there. It took about 38 minutes to get there. But my breathing and my neighbour came over, Heather, Maxine, my wife, rang our neighbour Heather, and she came over, and Maxine was waiting for the ambulance to arrive, but I just sensed that it was a demonic attack. When you're going through it, you're not 100% sure sometimes, and I was praying in English, and I was struggling to breathe, and I was praying in tongues, and that scared the wits out of my wife, because my wife, to my knowledge, has never made a commitment to the Lord. And that was really scary. And said, "Mike, you're scaring me, you're scaring me." So I shut up. And then Heather was there, our neighbour, and I was praying as well. And I said to Heather, "Look, I have to pray." And yet all this, while all this was going on, this was going on for over half an hour, I could sense the Holy Spirit was with me. Do I understand it? No. But I sensed the Holy Spirit was with me. And when the St. John's people are there, they pulled my wife aside and were asking her a few questions. And one of the questions, they said, "Is your husband always anxious?" And she said, "No, he's not, because I'm not an anxious person." But that's what was really happening. It was like anxiety attacks. And so they agreed to take me. They agreed to take me to the hospital, and because I mentioned about a swollen testicle, and we had a board meeting at the end of April. And my testicle started to grow, and I was in extreme pain. It went from maybe a 2 to an 8, and I shared with the board, I wouldn't allow them to lay hands on me, though. Something's only special for your wife and for your doctor, baby. But it was excruciating. I was in excruciating pain, so it was Labor weekend, and not, it was Anzac weekend, and I thought I'd wait till Monday. But then I forgot it was a public holiday, so I thought I'd better go to the urgent doctor's, and I got a female doctor, and I thought, "Oh, well, okay, Lord." And my wife said to me later, "Too bad us women have had been poked and potted in all sorts of places. It doesn't hurt for you to face up to that." And she was a lovely, lovely woman, and she said, "I think you've got your intestine is infected." And so she put me on antibiotics, and she said, "If it's not any better by Wednesday or Thursday, get hold of your doctor and you may have to come into the hospital and they'll have to put a drip into you to put some antibiotics in that way." And so this St. John's people, I told them about that and they said, "Well, look, we're going to take you into the hospital anyway to get you checked over." But the time I got to the hospital, I was feeling okay and I felt like a bit of a fraud, really, sitting there and lying there in the bed and all these other people running around. But anyway, they checked me over very thoroughly and they couldn't find a reason why I'd collapsed or anything like that, and I got checked over by quite a few different doctors, and I had a bit of a quiet time in the cubicle, and they put this drip in for the swollen testicle for the antibiotics, but they couldn't find any medical explanation. But they said I'd have to stay the night, and they wanted to just see me the next day, and so I said a cubicle prayer. I don't know if anyone else has been in hospital, you've said a cubicle prayer. It comes from the heart. When something nasty has happened to you, it takes on new meaning. And I said it in a lot of faith. And as I prayed the prayer, I prayed for my family, for protection over my family. Then I put on the full armor of God. Well, but I put on God's clothing, first of all, in Colossians. And then I put on the full armor of God, but I related each piece of armor to Jesus Christ, because that relates back to Jesus Christ. And when I finished the prayer, I had a vision. And I had a vision of this horrible demonic face. And it was looking at me and it was angry. And the Lord revealed to me the next day, he said, "Mike, that was a tremendously powerful prayer because it was said in faith. And the demon had to step back." And how do I know that was a demonic thing? Well, previously up at Hamilton, and with Jeff, when Jeff was leading the worship team, I saw a demonic presence up there, and it was there for quite a long time. And so that's how the Lord tends to work. He shows me things. And if you see things twice, two is a witness, like they talk about. And so it was a bit of a witness. So I know it was a demonic attack. And while I was in there, in actual fact, the Lord said to me it was destruction. He was trying to destroy me. And while I was in there, I got my daughter to ring Ron Sinclair, who was here, and as soon as I spoke to Ron, Ron went straight into warfare. So he discerned straight away. And then Noel Spears is here too. When Noel was told that that's what he went straight into warfare as well. So they discerned it was a demonic thing. Now I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, why did you make me go through that? Why did you allow that to happen? Because he has to give permission. It doesn't just happen. Because I keep, as I said before, I keep a short account, and I had no sin in my life that I was aware of. And he said, Mike, I could have warned you. But he said, I thought it was best I didn't warn you, because it was better for you to go through that experience. Because out of that experience, you've become stronger. And I can relate to that. And not only that, I get glory through it. I don't know how that happens, but that's what he said to me. And he said, this was really quite important. He said, out of that experience, you've got greater authority. And I thought, wow. I said before that I felt the Lord saying I'm going to be challenged and there's going to be a bit of sifting. And he also said, the demons now know you've got greater authority. They now know. And he said, also said, Mike, I'm protecting your family and I'm keeping you safe. So he's allowing me to go through that, but he's still keeping me safe. And that's why I really felt when I was on the floor and I could sense his presence still. Now, I mentioned before, to my knowledge, my wife has never acknowledged Christ as her personal Savior. And I was surprised a little while later. He said to me, Mike, I need you to be more open with your wife about spiritual matters. I need you to be sharing more. And I said, Lord, why would I be that? Because it says in your word that they can't understand, because they're not born again. Unless they're born again, you can't understand spiritual matters. But he said that that's what it does say in my word. But he said, if you ask me, that's a general principle, and mostly it is. But if you ask me about is it right for you and Maxine, I would have said no. He said, Mike, you have to trust me in this. So I shared with her about the demonic attack and what I experienced, and she wasn't very happy. She said, if that's your God, I don't have anything to do with him and what he's put me through. And she says, I feel embarrassed, calling the ambulance and all these sorts of things. And I spoke to the Lord, and he says, keep being honest with her. So I'm trying to keep being honest with her. Normally, if a man, one of the guys would ring and I wanted to pray, I'd go out of the room. One of our guys, Brian Clark, who is normally here with his wife, Joan, they've been going through a real battle with cancer. His wife just had a mastectomy last year, a breast removed, and Brian was then diagnosed with bowel cancer, and he's just had a huge bowel cancer operation. And he rang me a couple of days before the operation, and I stayed in the room where Maxine was, and I prayed with her. And I must admit, it felt a bit strange, but I didn't pray in the Spirit. I just prayed in English, and God, he honored that. Not with healing for Brian, but he spoke to me after. He said, that's good that you did that in front of Maxine. So I'm trying to be more honest and open with her, rather being hiding things. Now, because of all these things that have been happening, I was struggling with everything that had been going on. I said, Lord, can you give me a confirmation that what's been happening and what I've been hearing is I've been discerning and hearing correctly? And it came from an unlikely source. I mentioned before our neighbour came over when we were waiting for the ambulance. Her name is Heather. And I was out washing the car one afternoon, and Heather came home from work, and we've got a leg in section, and she reversed up, turned around, was reversing, and she wound a window down and asked me how I was. And I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to be honest with her. And I told her what I felt had happened when I had that attack, and she was there. And now Heather, God bless Heather, a number of years ago, her and her husband Alan had come along to a Bill Subritsky meeting. And Heather had been unwell. And I was at the front. I was one of the ones organising Bill's meeting, and I was at the front. And Heather came forward at the altar call and she stood beside me. She says, I don't know why I'm up here. But he led them in a sinner's prayer. She prayed and she got a healing. Then I took her outside where the team members were. They prayed with her and she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Alan, looked in and saw what was happening, and I could see thunder all over his face. And he went through a period of hell over the weekend, and I wanted to go next door because Heather said that he thought he was having a nervous breakdown. But it was the Holy Spirit was on him. The conviction of the Holy Spirit was on him. And he came to the Lord on Monday in a special way. But they slipped back, and it's what we would call backsliding. And I couldn't understand, and over the years I've asked the Lord about them, and he's spoken to me the odd time about them. And then Heather dropped a clanger. She says, oh, Mike, she says, I've just been reading a book. It's called Heaven is for Real. Who's read that book? A wonderful book, isn't it? And she said, oh, it's a great book. I really loved it. And I said, look, I've got the DVD. So I'm going to give her the DVD after my son-in-law and my daughter watch the movie. Because it's a wonderful, well-made movie. Sometimes the movies are a bit disappointing. They're a bit namby-pamby, a bit weak, but I felt that movie was really, really, really well done. And so that was the Holy Spirit just confirming everything that he'd been, that's been happening in my life. And he also said to me, he said this quite a few times, the Holy Spirit is always at work. He's always working. We may not see it. Sometimes he'll allow us to see different things, but most times we don't. And so I've been through a bit in the last few months, and as I said jokingly about Jimmy, but Jimmy, if you hadn't bought that warfare message, I wouldn't have really got to understand what I was going through. And now I know. Now I hate Satan with a passion. And so I know that I've got more authority. And I can just hold people's hands and the Holy Spirit will just turn up. I'm not saying that to brag, but that's what will happen because he's teaching me to look inward, because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. He's the Spirit of the living God's looking. He lives, dwells in us, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And it's just powerful. And it wasn't my idea to share this. It was the Holy Spirit, I believe. He really started talking to me. He said, Mike, I want you to share because I believe that some of you guys may have been going through a bit of a sifting. And you've been struggling, you've been asking the Lord what's going on. And because the Lord has allowed the sifting to happen, you can do one of two things. You can step back from the Lord, or you can press on. Press on and press through. Because if you press on and press through, then you can start saying, now I know what it's like. You can count it all as joy, all as blessings. Do I understand it? No. Do I accept it? Yes, I've accepted because I've gone through it. God has allowed it. I don't understand that, but he's allowed it to happen. He's allowed it to happen, but he's seen me through. And I've pressed in closer and closer, and I just really sense at the moment the Holy Spirit is about to break out again in a huge way in this country, guys. Look, we're feeling into Dunedin, and that's why Jimmy's been back to Dunedin several times, because something I can feel the anointing. He's about to break out, guys. He's about to break out. Be ready, because he's revealed to me, I believe he's building an army, a secret army of no names. No names, because I'm a no-namer. You're all no names. We're not important people, but he's wanting to use us. I believe we're going to see a new wave of men come into this fellowship because the Holy Spirit is teaching them, and they're going to need to be held on to and loved and encouraged, because they're going to cop a bit of opposition in their churches when God starts to break out and start to use them. So God bless you.
I don't fully know what I'm going to say, except for the fact that the Lord has put it on my heart that you men have got to realize we are in a war. The war is going to get stronger and more intense. The Lord has been allowing things to happen in our lives, as it did in Mike's life, to grow our faith so that we can stand in the days to come. If you look at the situation in the Middle East, you will see all sorts of hell's breaking loose, and that is going to come here in New Zealand. We are going to face very hard times in this nation, and the Lord needs an army of people who will stand under fire, because we are going to go through it in no uncertain terms. This weekend is an opportunity for each one of us to stand and receive what the Lord has, so that we are able to stand in the days to come and help those who are going to hurt deeply in this nation. The Lord is going to, well, the Lord has started to judge this nation, and you'll find things will start to come thick and fast. At the moment, we see the dairy prices are dropping a bit. We see droughts in some areas, floods in other areas. Well, these things are going to magnify. What will happen in this nation is that the finances will turn against the land. There will be a drought. It will go right through a winter and into the summer. New Zealand cannot stand lack of water. Our farming industry will get into dire straits. The forestry will get into dire straits. These things are going to come to pass until New Zealand comes to its knees. This nation is God's chosen nation. I do not understand how or why, but there's going to be the biggest move of the Holy Spirit ever seen come through this nation, and it will become the first Christian nation there has ever been. But it's going to come out of very difficult times, and we are going to need to stand and support people through it. The other thing that's going to happen is it will become very obvious who are the Christians in the nation, because the Lord is going to look after them. And this is not, I don't really think it really means the pew sitters. It means people who mean business for God. And you'll drive through the countryside and you'll see farms that are burnt dry, and then all of a sudden there'll be another farm that's green, and you will know that there's a Christian who owns that property. These are the sort of things we're going to see. And the Lord is saying that this weekend you've got to press into me so you can stand. If you do not move with me now, you will be left behind. It doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation or anything, but you just will fail to take place in the biggest move of God that this world has ever seen.
That's Keith. Just while I'm waiting for somebody else to come up, watch that thing. Very awkward there. Good. One of the things I just want to say that, you know, we take the presence of God with us everywhere we go. And I'll just share with you, we employed a guy about 8 months ago in our factory, and he was recommended by one of the staff, so we took him on, and he was an angry, angry, hurting man. I have never seen such an angry and violent man in my life. When things went wrong with the machine, he turned dark black. He kicked the machine. And the language that came out of his mouth, particularly towards women, was something terrible. And this guy just went berserk. So much so that one of the women came and saw us on the day off and said, "I'm too scared of that man," one of the staff. He'd gone through a very, very ugly divorce. And that was court cases and allegations and police. And it was going on for 2 years. And so I sat down with him and I just said, "Look, I'm very, very concerned about you and your health." And he sort of looked at me and I said, I feel like, you know, the Lord's telling me that you are suicidal." I said, "Yes." He said, "I've tried 3 or 4 times. This guy's about 35. And I said, "I'm concerned about you." And he started to cry. He said, "I've never had a boss that's ever been concerned about me before." He started to cry. I said, "Could I give you a suggestion?" I said, "I know you're angry with the divorce that took place 2 years ago or whatever." I said, "Could I suggest to you that you write a note and you stick it on the dashboard of your car with your ex-wife's name saying, 'I forgive Irene.' And that every time you get in your car, you say that." I said, "You won't feel like it. You'll feel angry. But every time you get in the car, you say that." And I said, "I'll guarantee within 10 days, things will start to subside and you'll change in your spirit." And he came back on about 4 or 5 days later. He said, "I was telling one of my mates," he said, "that is powerful." And, you know, in 8 months, we watched that guy go from a violent man like this coming down here, right down. until we had to lay him off just about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said, "That's okay, mate." He said, "I'll get another job. Understand what you're saying." And the man had totally changed. He had gone from that angry, angry man 8 months ago. And I believe we take the presence of God, and I pray around my factory that the presence of God will be there. And when he comes to that place, he's coming into the God realm. And he starts to be affected. So it's like he got pickled over 8 months. He got marinated with the presence of God. Didn't become a Christian, but open to talking about it. So, you know, wherever you are, guys, you can be effective. Well, there it is again. What's that?
Kia ora. Ko io te mātua, ko io te atua, nana I tīmata, nana I tomohia. God is the Father, he is the Spirit, he is the beginning, and he is the end. So I don't really know what I want to say, but some of yous will know me. I first started coming to full gospel with bringing John Yanko. And there I met Richard, and he prayed for me, I think, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think, before I even gave my heart to the Lord. Just want to honour you, Richard, because you hear about people stepping out, and it's the love that touches people. Brother, when you talk about the new wineskins, I believe that's the heart, and can we contain the love of God, because we've got to give it. So, Richard, I just want to honour you in front of your brothers in Christ for your support. You gave me my first chauffeur. You financially supported me through Bible college, through lots of stuff, and you're part of the reason I'm here now, because you still believed in me when nobody else did. So I honour you. I too was a drug addict. It's always a pleasure to hear you, Adrian, because you're real. I rocked with the mongrel mob and got into a bit of trouble with them. Ended up in jail. First went to church in jail. I think it was, what's the other brother's name? Nah, you know the one from, used to be Tiawonga? I can't remember his name, it's gone right out of my head. Yeah, Marty. Yeah, I was with Marty. So my walk's been pretty hard, actually, and I had my first little bit of deliverance. It's always been through, majorly through full gospel. And my first one was Forest Lakes with Tom Rice. And it was Queen's birthday weekend, 2009. I had a massive deliverance at full gospel conference in Napier. And that resulted in me going to Bible college and changing my walk. I got suspended from Bible college in my second term. And God vindicated me by the grace of God. They accepted me back. But that, for me, when you talk about trials, it was the trials that brought me to where I am today. It was the turning point in my life. So from Bible college, God took me into a social work degree, and I'm 2 years into that and doing quite well. But last year I put it on hold because I felt the Holy Spirit calling me to Hawera, and so that's where I've gone, and I found a lot of favour in Hawera. So I believe if I'm in the right place where God wants me, then any one of yous, wherever you are, you'll find favour. And I've also become a Maori warden since I'm in Hawera. So, and I can't believe the doors that God is using this place to open doors for me. I now have coffee in the smoko room at the police station. And it's quite cool because I never went through the back doors unless it was like this. So God's quite humorous, and we've been out on jobs with the police, and I'm too working with youth. I'm an evangelist as well. And the churches that I fellowship at, a Presbyterian church in Hawera, and they're moving into prophetic, and they've set up for fivefold ministry. They're stepping right out, and they've given me a house to open up for a house of God. So I've got it for 6 months rent free. I don't know what God wants. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Got no money, got no furniture. And I say, "Oh well, God, if this is what you want, you furnish it." And the house is being furnished, and as I speak, and freezers have turned up, bedding, beds, just it's like, and all I want it to be, I believe that he wants is a place where people can come and experience his love, because it's his love that sets you free. If you have not love, you have not nothing. But, you know, I also feel like God would say to us as men that, you know, step out. And you're right, without faith it's impossible to please God. I just step out and I step out. And, you know, you come under attack. The last 5 weeks I've been under quite a severe attack. I take people into my home and put them up and feed them. And I don't have no money, but food gets dropped off. I you know, two lots of the last people I've had in my house have turned on me and rubbished me in the district and said some really foul stuff about me and tried to get me kicked out of the Maori Wardens. They've been to my church and for the first time in my life, actually a couple of times I felt like kicking his head in, but I mean, grace, and God talks to me about grace, so I've managed, praise God, bless your brother. And you know, it doesn't matter who he says, he's a local, he's been there all his life, and it doesn't matter what he says about me, nobody's listening. So nothing's bigger or stronger in front of you than the power of God behind you, you know. And I just want to share another incident about God's grace. And I met this Māori fella, and he was a real GA, he was a dangerous man. And one day I told him he was full of shit and a blowbag, and I was lying on the couch with my arms like this, you know, and he snapped, and I wasn't quite expecting the degree of snap, but he ran to the kitchen, and I knew he was going for a knife, and I was still lying on the couch, and I just lied there, and he ran in, and he held the knife up against my neck hard enough that it penetrated the skin, and I had blood running down my neck, and I smiled at him and said, "What are you going to do, send me to heaven quicker?" And I had two about 20 boys that I was walking with, and they were there too, and he snapped and he pulled the knife out and threw it, and it stuck on the wall behind the couch I was lying on, and then he started pummeling me with punches, and my hands were still like this, and I was still smiling, and these boys were freaking out, and until they realised I was still smiling and they could see the punches weren't landing. And God had gave me this scripture in amidst that, saying, "Don't respond in the same manner, and no weapon formed against you will prosper." And then he grabbed an exercise machine and threw it at me, and miraculously it missed. And then he hiffed dumbbells at me, and then he started trying to smash me with a bat. And I came out unscathed anyway. And you know, it was like, because that's really unusual for me, because it took me about 2 weeks to get angry, and I got angry with myself that I didn't respond. And then he came back around about that, at the end of that time, and wanted to have a one out with me, and he damaged my car, smashed my bonnet in the middle of the night when he was unable to hurt me. And God, peace came upon me again, and I sat down at his feet and I looked up at him and said, "I'm not afraid of you, bro, but I'm not going to fight you." And I sat there, and he got real angry and he left again. But about 2 weeks after that, he came back, he hugged me, he apologized, he thanked me for not going to the police, which I too was able to say, "I'm not an arc, bro, I don't run off tittle tattle as soon as something happens." And now that man, he walks with me, and he goes to church, and he's far from perfect, but like the rest of us, you know. I had an incident, people were abusing me behind my back just recently, and God gave me the scripture in Psalm 109 about how people repay goodness with evil and speak words and lies against you, and that he will raise up an evil man to oppose them. Well, this man... that he's become one of my biggest supporters, I suppose. He saw some people abusing me behind my back quietly and making rude fingers with their emotions. And I don't like to think of him as an evil man, but unknown to me, he got up and confronted those people about doing that to his mate, and how dare you do it behind his back. And you know, so we're walking together, and I trust him, and it's all by the glory and the grace of God. Yeah. you know, I wasn't sort of hesitating about coming today, but I know the presence of God is here because as I started to drive closer, I started to weep in my car this morning, and I realized I need a fresh touch from God. I thank you, Lord, for the fellowship and the power that comes from the fellowship of men. You say in your word, Psalm 133, Lord, where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, it commands a blessing. You don't say that we might get a blessing. You said it commands a blessing, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for that open window that's above us. We thank you that your glory's here, Lord, that you would just give us knowledge of your glory. Lord, I pray the blood of the Lamb would just, a sprinkling of your blood would be here, Lord, that one sprinkling of your blood keep the angel of death at bay, Lord. Lord, I pray that your blood would be over this place today, that it would just wash us clean today, Lord. And Lord, I pray for fresh, new, divine encounters today, Lord. Over this next couple of days, Lord, we thank you for your presence. Amen. Amen.
What's your first name again?
Simon.
Simon, that's right. Yeah. Since your Simon's come such a long way, don't go away, Simon. I'd like just two or three guys just to come over here just while we're talking. Jimmy, if you could come over, and Adrian and Mike, if you could just come and pray for Simon. Just pray for God's blessing on him. He needs a touch, fresh touch. You know, I'm just learning so much from these guys. You know, abilities and things that I couldn't handle ever, what this man has handled. I would have up and sloshed him long ago. I wouldn't have won the fight. But let's go pray for this man because he's teaching us some lessons, and it's awesome. Ron, this will be the last one. We're just going to close at 12.
Yeah, hi, guys. I come to this convention, and I said, I'll just come along and listen. I won't do anything. I'll just soak up what you're going to give to me, Lord. But when Jeff went up to play this morning in that practice thing, when one of the songs was on, I started to weep. And I know what this weeping is. Actually, I didn't really know the name of it. I knew it was a kind of crying in the spirit. But Jimmy at the camp last year said it's a spirit of travail. And it's happened to me quite a few times. And it's here right now. There's somebody in this room has had deep, deep rejection. It is so deep, it is unreal. You can't worship, you can't function properly, and you're even having difficulty praying. I'm sorry, I'm not putting this on, I can't help it. You need to get set free from this. Last year at the camp, I took a session on deliverance. And it's pretty simple. I want you all to stand up. We'll do it quick. There's not much time. Everybody, please stand up. And you can deliver yourself. What you do is, if you've got... I had a spirit of heaviness over me. I'll just tell you briefly. And it's to do with not sleeping. And I was having nights when I still only sleep about 5 or 6 hours. That's cool. But I was only sleeping 2 or 3 hours, and I renounced the spirit of heaviness. And that night I slept for about 7 hours, and that's amazing for me to do that. So you can actually deliver yourself. You renounce the spirit. It could be a spirit of pride, lust, anything. And you just renounce it in the name of Jesus, and then you tell it to go. But we're going to do a spirit of rejection. I think during the last year, we've had a kind of rejection, many of us, over us. And I've made it easy for this person. I've got a feeling whom I know who it is. But you might come and talk to me later if you need to. But I don't want to embarrass you. The Holy Spirit will not embarrass you. So we're going to say, don't do it just now. We're going to say, spirit of rejection, I renounce you. And then we just simply say, in the name of Jesus, go. So ready for it? We'll make it easy for everybody. Spirit of rejection, I renounce you. I renounce you now. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is as simple as all that. Now, Holy Spirit, you've gone. I want you to fill me in that void that was there. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit right now in that place that, where it's gone. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I got confirmation to come up because Graham spoke about rejection in his talk. And I thought, well, that's confirmation. When that happened, I had more tears, so I was doubly confirmed. So thank you, Lord. It's your business, not mine.
Thank you, Ron.